Come.
Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band? Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, we are back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number is 844-967-2789. Americans value public education, however they would like to see them fixed. Johnny Lupinacci and I have been digging into, well, then there must be a brokenness that we're trying to diagnose. Elizabeth, thank you for that call. Sorry we had to cut you off there, but we were up on a hard break. We appreciate this. Elizabeth she didn't think she was going to give us a diagnosis of a brokenness of our American public schools, but the reality of talking about the foods that we feed our kids and how important that could be if we were really serious about how we manage to see food, how we would not see seafood, but see food with your eyes, you know. Seafood's good too occasionally, if it's fresh, right? Johnny.
I mean, that's the thing we're grateful for, Elizabeth. Thank you also for substitute teaching, because
absolutely,
boom, we need all the help we can get, especially veteran food folks who understand the importance of preparation and the knowledge that goes with that in our education system around our young people. And that's really important. So thank you, Elizabeth. But really, Tim, I really am grateful for this call, because if we're really looking at schools as broken, I think we really have to give schools some benefit of the doubt and say, culturally, there's a larger issue at stake, and it's akin to some of the distancing from the most intimate relationships we have. And that's with what we put in our body, the food we eat, the water we drink, and the rituals and traditions in our diverse communities around not only the preparation, right, but historically around, you know, the growing, the producing, the preparation, the consuming, right, and all of those parts. And so, Elizabeth, I'm grateful, because I think food is probably one of the most unifying ways we can begin to rethink, right? Rather than, I say, fix schools, rethink schools. Think about priorities of what we're learning, because one of the things we know is that schools have done a really good job of sorting out who's successful and who's not. And we know that those measurements don't add up when we look at what we need in order to be happy, healthy communities, right? And so, if we're really rethinking schools, I'm going to throw it out there, right? If we're going to fix them, then we have to think deeply about how do we understand collectively our shared happiness and well-being and health as a community. And we can call that social justice, sustainability.
Oh, there you go. I knew you were going to sneak it back in there.
Or we could just say it's just about being a happy, healthy community.
Okay, right? Happy, healthy communities. Food, though, you know, and I was thinking about that when you talked about that, right? I mean, the fact that Elizabeth really talking about the food that we give our kids is really important. But then the reality, too, just thinking about hunger itself, right? The idea we address hunger. And if you want to talk about this, I was talking about this during the break for the Facebook Livers, but now that we're back on, you know what? If your belief in the schools is that they're broken because low test scores, right? Okay, I'll give it to you. You want to raise test scores? Let's go with Elizabeth and talk about this. The food, first of all, making sure we have food for children before they come to school, and then increase that, the nutrition level of the food they get. Man, you want to raise test scores without yelling at teachers and, quote, fixing broken schools? Let's feed kids healthy food. Watch your test scores go up. There's a solution to the broken system. Johnny.
Well, and Tim, I'm going to throw a curveball into this, because, you know, I'm 100% pro public education. Yet some of the best schools I've visited in this country are public charters. And one of the most amazing ones that I visited, although I don't want to green light charter schools because I know where this goes, man. I'm a former Detroit teacher. I know the road this goes down, but I'm going to mess this up because I'm not a chef myself, or I should get this right. And I believe I always mix up Alice Walker and Alice Waters, but one of the food culinary queens of this has schools around our country that are centered around food curriculum. Mm-hmm. And they are neighborhood gardens, farm to table schools where, Tim, they have, you know, the evidence, the research around not only the nutrition that helps our kids be strong learners, but also the knowledge of all of the parts that go into sustaining and recognizing diverse food preparation traditions, medicinal aspects of food, and how we can be our strongest, best selves, which is part of being in a democracy. Mm-hmm. Right, it through learning that's centered around all of the aspects of food, right? Man. If it was one thing, a friend of mine who was a co-teacher with me in Detroit, she would always say, Johnny, everybody eats. And I would look at her and I would say, you know what? That's right. We would start thinking about what are we going to teach? How are we going to bring the community together? What should our curriculum be in ways that were relevant and empowering, but also included content for our students? And we would land on food. We would land on water. We would land on our common response to seeing suffering around us. These are, even across our diverse cultures, human needs and responses. And so that was that. I'm really grateful for that call.
Yeah.
For the direction it's taken us.
It moved us. And you said, when you're talking about that, and again, not a flip or a nod to charter necessarily, but the idea of, the organization around innovating a curriculum is, you're talking about some form of systemic change. And so back to, you know, Americans love their public schools. They just want them to be fixed. Elizabeth said, hey, I don't know. Well, you know, Elizabeth said, well, let's fix the food system. We are in agreement with Elizabeth when we talk about that. The number is 844-967-2789. We still would like to hear if you believe the American schools need to be fixed. We want to know what it is that is broken. We started talking about the food system, which, you know, could be something that we're driving at. You know, Johnny, in this poll, though, too, and again, it's the 74million.org, and the poll that they really go off of is this, it's Mermation poll, really, you know, gets into some other questions. And, you know, I want to go back to the title of this. Schools need to be fixed. However, not culture wars. And I was talking about this with you before the show. There's a very interesting breakdown that is a real truth teller to me, because as we talk about this, you know, teaching and learning during COVID, truth, Howard Zinn, critical race theory, banned. What? Well, guess what? A majority of Republicans in this country believe the truth should be taught, and that includes racial discrimination, the history of slavery. And then when you put that as a whole, so this is, you know, Republicans across, a majority of Republicans believe that we should be teaching some form of, and God forbid, it's not critical race theory, but let's just call it truth teaching. They believe in truth teaching. How is it possible then that the solution to our broken schools, at least according to the right-wing legislatures across this country, is that we need to fix schools by banning truth, when there's not even a consensus of Republicans, or a majority of Republicans don't believe in banning books? Maybe that's a real interesting truth nugget to drop on a ton of people right now who typically listen to the show. Republicans, we knew you were not as crazy as we imagined. The idea that you believe in truth teaching, we knew it was out there. So the issue of the fringe, Johnny, starts to come up as something we want to talk about here. The fringe pushing this, broken schools, we need to fix them. The survey says, hey, if you want to fix them, don't mess with teaching the truth. I think that's a very interesting point to bring up. 844-967-2789. So actually, if we believe in the American public schools, don't get into the culture wars. Johnny, your thought on that? It's rich.
I do get it as well. And I guess I'm skeptical because I want to understand more broadly when we're reading a poll about what people who identify as Republicans.
We should be clear. And again, this is a poll, people who identify as Republicans. And again, we don't want to overgeneralize, but at least according to this poll, the majority of Republicans that responded to this poll believe in truth teaching.
Yeah. And so I get into I really want to get into, so what defines truth? Mm-hmm. And really looking at, do we have, you know, expert consensus? And I mean this, not the single story that is, you know, a voice of dissent, which is important to include, but not with equal weight, right? We talked about this in the past around how currently this idea of teaching all the sides,
mm-hmm.
right, gives equal weight to the false equivalency. Right. There are people who say, you know, the Holocaust didn't happen, right? And so do we teach that with equal weight as the historical facts of what happened in Europe and around the world at that, you know, period of history? You know, that's the kind of thing I worry about when I hear larger discussions around schools need to be more open to the truth. And then there is this sort of lack of valuing around expert consensus, right? And I'll flash to like climate change, right? We need to teach about climate change, yes, but we also need to teach about that climate change isn't real. Hold on.
No, right.
You know what I'm saying?
And you know what? And I inserted the word truth in here just to be, you know, so yeah. I put that in there. I think you're right. Hey, Chris from Poinette.
Right.
On the line. Chris, we got a few minutes here. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right, we're okay. We're waiting for you to drop some truth on us.
Okay. Have you seen the movie Hunger Games?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we're at right now.
To explain a little bit more, like you mean our education system, our society, both?
Our society in general.
Okay.
Woody Harrelson got through Hunger Games a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that he told Kate, or I forgot what her name, Catelyn?
Catelyn.
Katniss Everdeen. Yeah. Yep. You got it, my man.
The first thing he told her was, do not go for the storehouse. You know, in the beginning of the movie, when they opened up the scene and they were all standing on their pedestals and they counted it down and there was a storehouse of guns and food, mm-hmm. and whatever.
I got you, man. We're following. Keep going, man.
Woody Harrelson told her, don't go for that. You'll get slaughtered. Mm-hmm. Run for the woods. And then acquire those things from other people throughout the game.
And that's where we're at, Chris, now. So that's what you see society and schools are contributing or not contributing. I mean, I can see some kind of dystopianness that you're talking here a little bit about this. Appreciate that. I do think that the potential that maybe Johnny Lupinacci and I, when we come back after this break, you know, we'll talk about, the disconnect of the system of public education. Bring it back. However, the number is 844-967. It's 2789. Call us when we get back. Busted Pencils, more after the break.
Hey.